This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Now, you might hear that and presume that I won Real or Fake last week and picked the music this morning because it just happens to be my favorite band of all time. But Carl played that because they went on tour for the first time on this date in 1978.
Opening up for Journey.
Wow. Yeah, I heard a great Journey cover band this weekend. Did I mention that?
You did.
All right. So we've been covering this story closely over the last couple of years, right? The insanity in our schools. And we've even had evidence of it locally where counselors and schools have maybe encouraged kids not to be honest with their parents, whether they have questions about their gender or whatever. It's infuriating to me. Now there's been a court case that I was hoping to explain some more about, and we're lucky to have Sarah Parshall Perry with us this morning. She is a senior legal fellow at Heritage and helping us out instead of Hans von Spakovsky this morning. Sarah, welcome into the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. We'd certainly appreciate it. Tell me about this court case. This was an appeals court, right, that ruled whether or not a school could hide gender questions from parents?
Yeah, it was actually a case called Foot versus Ludlow coming out of the First Circuit Court of Appeals. And this is a case in which, as we so often find, unfortunately, and this is an increasing type of litigation now in the federal trial courts working its way up through the system, these are actually school policies in which the teachers and the administrators were instructed to actively lie to parents about a child's expressed gender identity at school. And that's simply on a child's say-so. So apparently here, one minor child, a young girl, decided she was going to identify as a boy, told her teachers and administrators and said, I don't want my parents to know. And so they actually kept that information from the parents. Well, when the parents found out about it through an inadvertent slip, because somebody at the school office used her correct name and then used the name she was going by at school, the parents, of course, raised a red flag. And sure enough, what they discovered is that she had been down this path of what they call social transitioning, using different bathrooms, pronouns, names, clothing at school that she was at home. And that was distinctly in violation of their parental rights. Unfortunately, the First Circuit Court of Appeals did not see it that way.
It's just insane to me, Sarah. And what's really alarming was reading this article on the Daily Signal. It talks about how more than 12 million American school students are enrolled in schools that have these confidentiality policies. Are you aware of any sort of a list that's in the works that would inform parents which schools, which districts these are across the country?
Yeah, our good friends over at Parents Defending Education have actually created what they call an indoctrination map, and you can actually search across the country to see which schools and districts actually have these express policies in place. They have done really tremendous work in collating all of these. So anyone who's listening can go to parentsdefendingeducation.org and look for their indoctrination map. But this is a growing list. In fact, just last year, we were at about 11 million kids. And simply within the span of 1 year, we've seen an additional million kids now within school districts that are subject to these express written policies. And unfortunately, a lot of that was a result of the cover they had from the federal government, who went all in on gender identity and took a trans early, trans often approach to not just American education, but to healthcare and parental rights as well. We really have, I think, in many respects, dodged a bullet when it comes to this particular notion, but parents are now having to take this fight back to the ground level, back to the grassroots, where they are having to deal one-on-one with these school districts
yes.
and these teachers.
It's why school board elections are so important. I mean, what if, hypothetically, a kid comes to school and tells the counselor, I identify as a German Shepherd. Would it not be incumbent on the counselor to call the parents up and say, I think maybe some mental health counseling might be in order here?
Well, that's a great point because it points out the hypocrisy of the entire movement, right? If a child has mental health issues, if they are expressing, for example, anything accustomed to, ADHD, autism, or bipolar disorder, and I had to walk this process. One of my children had an IEP. Another one of my children had a 504 plan. They are duty-bound under federal civil rights law to come to the parents. But, of course, when you're dealing with this notion of gender identity, this subjective, internal, malleable sense of self, for some reason, all of the sort of traditional notions of involving parents in their child's education are lost because it is seen as this sort of preeminent social entity that we can't touch. And honestly, the court's rationale in getting to this outcome, they actually did much of the analysis right, but what they determined was yes, parental rights are involved in this case. Yes, the Supreme Court have recognized them for a very long time. No, we don't think they were infringed because we think that you could have found out about your child's minor gender identity simply from taking sort of a better observational view of what they're doing and the preferences from who they talk to, what they visit online, or what they watch.
It is insane. Sarah Parshall Perry with Heritage, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You can read more on that story at dailysignal.com or heritage.org.
Get more at 971talk.com.